The following podcast contains about two naughty words, beginning with the letter S.
A Wiggly World 122. Pooh.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down.
A Wiggly World, A Wiggly World. Hi, friends. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of A Wiggly World. I thought I'd jump on real quick because, to be honest with you, I have no idea when the next time I'm going to be able to sit down and be with you all. So I thought, jump on real quick, try to get this done. I have a lot of editing to do today, a lot of other things going on. Tons of things coming up in the next few weeks in my life and in the life of my family. Chizzy, my wife, has a dance recital this coming weekend. Next weekend, she's in some type of competition. We're in the middle of trying to settle on our house. I'll talk about my house a little bit. Today's episode, I don't know how much you'll get out of it. I don't know where we'll be going. It's free ball on Friday, of course, on a Tuesday. But it's just, you know, it's just going to be one of these open the mics and go and see where that takes us. Mostly rotating, orbiting around the geocentric Wiggly's world, as in me, Wiggly, not in the wiggliness of the world or the universe or the ocean or the things like this. You know, Pluto and the moon. So the universe and the ocean. I also have a feeling I'm going to open up Logic Audio program here, Logic Studio Pro, and maybe take you a little bit behind the scenes of the creation of the latest thing out of the Wiggly of Trapdoor Studios, which is the theme song for Chikarosaurus Rex. I'll talk about my role in Chikar and how I'm gradienting out of it. I'm not really fading. It's sort of a gradient going down, but maybe never reaching the end of the gradient, the zero opacity, perhaps, that type of thing. It's getting there. It's getting there, and I'll go into that, I'm sure. I went to La Tip. Maybe talk about that. It's not a cult, everyone, so I don't know if I'll talk about that at all, but that may come up. Of course, a little bit of talk about We Talk Games and the directions that that is going. I'm so very proud of that project. And big prizes going on there as well. And the communities, you know, it's gaining like maybe one person a day, but, you know, it's a slow growth. It's a sad growth. My numbers for Wiggly World, not really going anywhere either. I had Bob Price on last episode. I'm incredibly happy about that. Definitely going to have him on a future episode. He's very happy about it. He enjoyed it. He had a good time. So I'm happy about that, thrilled about that. And it's really cool because now, instead of going through all my Reginald Finley Bible Geek CDs that I made for road trips and things like this, if I want to listen to Bob Price, I can listen to one of my own episodes. I mean, this is like a dream come true for me. So I really like Bob Price. I think he's a great fella, a smart cookie, as they say, in the 1930s and 50s. Oh. A lot of television to talk about. So, you know, what are we going to get out of today's show? Chatter with me. If you're not sick of hearing my voice already on the shows that I'm involved with, believe me, I am. I'm even getting sick of my singing voice, but I'm trying to change that as well. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit, even though it's, I mean, slightly embarrassing, but what the hell do I know? A lot of good media come out lately. lot of media come out lately. A lot of media came out lately. I had something worked out for that coming out, but I lost the sentence. Maybe a little bit of jumble brain. Hopefully I won't talk about pro wrestling, but I feel that I will, even though I'm really trying to get that, work that out of my system. But first let me start with something that I really want to start with. Of course, every single day that goes by, I think of talking to you. I do talk to you. It's just that there's no recording going on. I did something at 6 a.m. this morning using my iPad. I kept it by my bed because I thought, you know what? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to just lay in bed and do my iPad a little bit. But then you forget that you have to pee as soon as you get up. So that sort of blows that out of the water there. But every day I sit somewhere or drive or am just walking around and I think about things that I want to talk about with you. And of course, I don't have anything to write them down with and they all are lost in the wind. But one thing that I know that I definitely want to get out before I really start ripping, although I'm 5 minutes in, what did I say? Nothing! One thing I really want to do, though, is thank you all very much for your support throughout this venture of podcasting. And your support that extended beyond that. A lot of you buy my albums in iTunes or on even the CD Baby or Amazon or any of the other online outlets that you can find Wiggly of Trapdoor, Trapdoor CDs, downloadable media, and things like this. So first, I want to thank all of you for being a part of this and supporting me, buying my We Talk Games merchandise. I mean, that's incredibly important right now. When I stopped donations, I stopped accepting monthly donations, that is, it made a huge impact, of course, on my budget. Seeing me have a large library of PlayStation games now may dissuade you from thinking that I am want for any types of extra income. But please keep in mind that I still work a part-time job. Now, I did get a raise in my part-time job. I'm not hurting. I do eat. I have a family now. Chiz helps support me as well. I definitely am not asking for money. Well, I shouldn't say definitely because sounds like I am. So maybe I should just drop that. But just know that last year I thought I was doing well. And then when I owed, $4,000, $5,000 in taxes, I realized, oh, I guess I wasn't really doing that well. I was just not putting aside money for my taxes. Lesson learned. Although this year I'm off to a fantastic start right away, but I'm trying to save, of course, for this house and try to put a nice big down payment on it. And I'm totally getting off my thank yous, but I just want to say that I purchased a lot of these things thinking that these are just tax write offs because I'm going to review them on the show. And another lesson by fire is that you can't write off everything. You can write things off, but the full price of that isn't written off. It's not 100% write off. I am naive in many areas, and one of them is how this world really works. I think I work very hard. I only base that on the fact that I'm constantly working. I thought, I work like an insane person. Do I owe anything? I worked for everything I got. And the answer is yes, I do owe a lot. And now they want me to come up with $1,000 per quarter to pay in advance. And I'm like, holy holy cripes. But I did get a raise. I didn't get a raise. I told them when I first started working at this tech job that I was going to come in low for 90 days on a trial basis. Because, let's face it, I'm in the tech business. I've been in for a very long time since, I would have to say since the mid-90s. And that has a lot of experience, brings a lot of experience. But going in as an independent to a shop and being the sole IT administrator, IT coordinator, IT planner, and having the responsibility of Unix system, Linux systems, Mac OS X servers, Mac OS X systems, Windows servers, Exchange server, AD server, your domain controller, all this business, everything, Active Directory going, PC users, and laptop, desktops, applications, licensing, font management. I can go down and firewall, that type of policy, monitoring policy. I mean, I brought a lot to this company that they didn't have in place in their infrastructure, and I inherited a lot that I had to backwards engineer with very little documentation on anything, which is incredibly difficult when they're using quite specialty applications that I have no idea how they're set up. And no documentation of that. So I was doing a lot. And after the 90 days, of course, I continued to work that way for about a year and a half. So finally, I got a little bit of bump in pay, and it's really been helping. But these taxes are kind of insane. So I don't know what to do about that except pay them, I guess. The nice thing is that the government allowed me to go on payment plans, and not only that, I did underestimate my tax. I overcalculated it or whatever by about $200, maybe. Yeah, so that was nice that I didn't have to pay that extra two bills. Now, back to my thanks. I also have some special thanks, and I don't think I've really let this person know, but I really want to thank D'Lo Brown, and not just because he's as a celebrity of sorts in our community, no doubt about that, but I want to thank him especially because he didn't have to come and do the Chikara podcast a go-go with me, and I was very thankful that he was able to work it in. And I mean, we did it at the venue. I drove up. It was a lot of fun. Schlepping my equipment to two different places that I thought were where the TNA was going. But I really want to thank him because, he hooked us up with my family, with Chiz, when we went to Orlando. And he also, he wore a Chikara shirt on his program. His audio podcast, Between the Ropes. And I know he's doing a video podcast there for a while. That's where he wore the Chikara shirt on Icy Places. And also, if you want to follow him on Twitter, DLoBrown75. So I want to thank D'Lo especially. I also wanted to, I don't know why I opened up my notebook. I don't have anything written in it. I have my pen here in case I want to remember something. Of course, Kahura, Noel Malinowski. Amazing contributors. Noel picked up one of my RAS servers that I wanted, a little RAS box that hangs off the network because of all the trouble that I had with my DNS 321, the D-Link. Well, I'm still using the D-Link, but now my backups are all going to the Black Armor NAS 110, 2 terabyte centralized backup media, streaming, remote access. And that deal is by Seagate, and I'm very appreciative for that. Now I hopefully will not lose data. And it even has a little Mac interface, which is nice. Now, all these types of RAS you can usually interface from the internet, you know, your local network, but through a web browser. But this one actually had some software that wasn't PC only to initially find it and set it up. So that was nice. And I'm looking forward to moving all this into a new house. Now, of course, there's more people I'd like to thank before I go down that pathway. But Kahura also, just a super sweet fella. So glad that these folks are still here after all these years, and very special to me. I'd like to thank, of course, a guy I talk to almost on a daily basis, Kyle von Kubik. Without him, the new We Talk Games would just be like this show, except with games being mentioned. So that show really picked up new directions. I'm so proud of that. And we just launched a brand new show called Interview Starcade, and it's available in the iTunes Music Store, as well as I don't know where else, wherever podcasts go. You could subscribe to it through the RSS feed as well. Interview Starcade, there's links up on WeTalkGames.com in the right-hand column. And what this does is just takes some of our best interviews, and they're over the course of a year or so. Maybe we'll have all the interviews. I don't know. I don't know where we'll stop, but we keep doing some very good interviews. Last month's was just fantastic in my books. We had on the creator of the BitTrip series, one of the creators. So I was, you know, ecstatic about that. That was a really, really good interview. And we hope to have Alex Noisy on again in the future. Let me tell you about that interview. Alex, of course, when we were going to start, you know, pretty concerned about time, pretty concerned about, you know, different things that you might be when you get an invitation to be on a podcast. But after the podcast, he sincerely thanked me and said it was the best interview, if not the best, one of the best interviews he's ever done for a podcast, for sure. And he was so thankful that it wasn't the same old questions that he gets asked on every podcast. And you know, if you listen to it, it sort of opens a little differently. So I'm very happy about that. It was a rough morning for me that morning when we did that episode. So I was glad it turned out right. And I think last episode was a very strong episode. And the episode before that with Taito, I think we really knocked it out. Built around a challenging interview. Challenging not because of the guest. The guest was amazing. Just, you know, the language barrier, of course, the politics and such that would come with a huge... you can't really get a bigger corporation, I think, over the longevity of time than Taito. You know, maybe Namco, maybe Capcom, but consistently over time, I think Taito really has maintained a very high level, not only of visibility, but of quality titles and in-house titles, really, because a lot of those other companies, you know, farmed out, especially Namco, and diversified and things like this, and switched focus. But I think Taito really stayed on course and has been strong all the way through. So that was an amazing interview. These last few shows, I think, have just been really good. I'm quite proud of them. Would I love to have everyone in studio, all of our correspondents flown in from remote locations? Of course I would. I would love to do that, just from a sound quality and an interaction point of view. You know how difficult it is to interact over Skype. I mean, you can't interject. It's very difficult because when you start to interject, the other person doesn't hear you, and then it's all a mess. And you never know what type of connection you're going to get. I can have the same person with the same mic, same setup every single time, and have 100,000 different sound qualities come out of it. So I really want to thank all the people involved with We Talk Games, especially Kyle von Kubik, Johnny Capcom. I'm happy that, you know, these were our core people that I wanted to focus on initially because they were very supportive. And Yellow Moth was also a part of this initially. And once he becomes a lawyer, maybe he'll have more time. I don't know. It depends on what type of lawyer, I guess. Hey, you know, if you want to be a lawyer, don't forget, the music industry has lawyers. In fact, they have, they have quite lawyers, as they say. No one says. So, I mean, maybe being in law doesn't interest you, but how about being in music law or something like that? Something that does interest you and you can make a good living at and might really enjoy. Just a career choice idea for all you youngsters out there. I think I have a pretty young listenership, and also I have a lot of ladies that listen. Thank you. I'd like to thank the lovely ladies for listening. Yes. Hi, ladies. I'm Wiggly. How are you? Now everyone just threw up a little, I'm sure. But getting back to making toast for people that have to tell me that I made toast for them back in the 80s and 90s. Because I don't remember. I know I made toast for a lot of people. I used to carry a toaster around, but I forget who I made toast for. So I'm excited about the We Talk Games. I'm excited about Interview Starcade. I'm excited about our breakout bonus levels that I've been able to keep up with every week. I didn't think I could do it. Every Thursday we release that. We've been having articles online that pop up. I'm amazed with that. I'm happy about that. That, you know, we also keep those type of things going. Kyle's been handling the We Talk Games Twitter. Amazing, great stuff. Contest questions every day. Just go to twitter.com/WeTalkGames. What else would it be? I'm glad I was able to grab that. Yikes. That would kind of stink. Benny's still around. Big thanks to Benny. And big thanks to all of you that are still there. And, pardon me for not mentioning everyone by name. But hopefully you know who you are. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for, supporting me. I hope to be able to get out a new music album. As you may or may not know, I've been slowly getting out of the Chikara. You may have noticed in the recent releases that things may look a little different. Derek Kelly writes, "Wiggs, I had to share what happened to me this morning. I was catching up on the go-go on the way to work this morning. I was up to the Dreamer interview right after Tommy Dreamer throws the towel on the screen, and the screen fades to black. My 6 month, it didn't fade. It actually was covered up. I didn't have to put any fade in there. 6 month old Zune HD died. His Zune died. I guess the interview was so intense that Dreamer killed my Zune. Yes, he may have, but you can tell there that, of course, I didn't shoot that. I tried to clean it up and make the best of it. It was a little dark when they shot it, but I think Tommy Dreamer, being in Chikara, so to speak, for this stretch is just great. Great. I maybe I had some disparaging words about Tommy Dreamer in the past, but I got to tell you, not just because he's with Chikara, but people put into these different roles really change my whole impression of them, like, instantly. That's how pro wrestling is. I think I'm a mark just like anyone else, to a certain extent. And I think a perfect example of that is Matt Morgan. I didn't think they'd ever find a gimmick for this guy, and now I guess it's sort of lost. I don't know what's going on now. He feuded with a guy that was in an orange bodysuit the other day, and this guy in this orange bodysuit is supposed to be a good guy, and then he choked him out so badly with his shirt that he had to be stretchered out. And for that, acts of over violence and just meanness after the man was already beaten, he got a big high five from Hulk Hogan, and cheered out of the arena. So that's really nice. It really solidifies your babyface role. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. And like I said, I didn't want to get into wrestling too much. But Matt Morgan, when he was the tag team champions, and referred to himself as we, and I was really, really enjoying that. It's the first time he spoke eloquently. He didn't stammer. It didn't seem unreasonable. It wasn't like Randy Orton pretending to be insane. Now, I know the ladies may disagree with me there and all these screaming fans, but I have never... I like to refer to Randy Orton as the worst of the worst of lousy. He is lousy. And not only can he not really string two moves together, but... anything outside of a gimmick that is some type of conceited jock character, I'm not going to buy it. I've seen a lot of crazy people. I've been insane before. He is the opposite of insane. And I don't mean sane. I mean silly insane. Silly acting insane. What he thinks an insane person might do. Every move now he does like this head thing that he thinks makes him look insane, but he just looks like a dope. That's my opinion right there. Now, I don't like to be mean, but they really just need to put him in a character more befitting what I perceive to be his real personality, which is conceited jock. They could play off of that. They'd be sitting on a gold mine. He's honestly making me like John Cena. That's how bad this is. I think Cena is putting on a wrestling clinic after Randy Orton gets in the ring. It's something. And how about Sheamus? He's doing a real good job too. He's doing a nice job. I'm very very happy that I thought he was going to go the way of the Dodo. So I'm very happy he's still sort of in focus there. And it looks like he's in for the long run, I hope. And unlike Kali, which they just do not know what to do with this guy, and I don't know why he's still there, but I guess he's there so other people don't have him. That's the only thing I think of. And it's sad, when you look at the guy, I mean, definitely, he does not have the personality of an Andre the Giant. But then you also look at how Andre was treated, and you look at how Kali is treated. And Kali is treated like the guy that sweeps the floors compared to how Andre was treated. And it's just sad from that standpoint. And that's one thing I do admire about TNA, and I'm not sure if it's real or just my perception, but I think that TNA is concerned about their talent, and I really like that. If there's one nice thing I could say about TNA, it's probably that. Now, TNA is just... They still haven't realized that Hulk Hogan should only have his music played. He should strum his air guitar down to the ring on his little ramp there and point maybe a couple times and then strum his ass right on back. That's all he needs to do. He'd be over big time. As soon as he opens his mouth, it's all over. It's terrible. It's I will never get out hearing him saying, "You need to sell that more, brother. You need to really sell to the crowd, and you need to sell that frog splash, that 5-star frog splash. You need to sell that RDV. I'll never get that out of my head. Him doing that celebrity fat farm wrestling on the country music television channel. That will never be gone, and every time he opens his mouth, that's all I hear. Danny Bonaducci. And that's probably the worst Hulk Hogan ever. And I know they've been teasing this heel since the beginning, but who really cares? He's still going to stink. I mean, what's he going to do? Wears black? He already does. Never mind. Maybe he'll put on his red and yellow to be heel now. with his sewn-in hair. Is that hair connected to the babushka? I need to know. I need to know if that's what's going on there. they should sell those, you know, at the TNA merch channel. Get your Hulk Hogan babushkas with his hair in it. I think that's it about right. I think I've gotten that out of my system. What's good in TNA? You know, there's gems happening. But here's another problem. Are there like four or five guys with mohawks in TNA? With mohawks in TNA. It's a new hair trend. Mohawks. I think there's four or five. And then whatever RVD has. I don't even know what that is considered. Mohawk? I don't know. So that's pro wrestling. That's a world of pro wrestling right there. Trying to get out of there. I'm desperately fleeing. And the great thing about pro wrestling now in my life is I can start to watch a program. You know, I've got a spare second. I don't feel like trying to do anything else. Just let my mind rot. I'll put on the pro wrestling, watch a few minutes, and say, this is complete poop. Forget it. I'm out of here, and turn it off and delete. Oh, I had to delete the last Mythbusters. I could not even look away and watch how the myths turned out. If I see one more pig carcass desecrated on that show, and it's not like I hold pigs in high esteem, like a sacred pig or something. It's not like I have a passion for pigs. It's not like I think a dead pig should be somehow cherished and not desecrated. It's just hang your grandmother up there, mustache guy and redhead guy with bad breath. Dig up your grandma and put her on a hook and shoot some paintballs at her, okay? Because this is disgusting. It's not a human analog. I know that they have a lot in common with humans, but just build one out of plastic, because this is frickin' gross. And it's uncalled for. It's disgusting. It doesn't remind me of science at all. You know, I know science uses animal testing and things like this. It's something that I'm not sure that we need to use as much as we once did before the newer technologies that we have and the models that we can build and the willing human test subjects. What about them? You know, we don't really need to do as much animal testing as still goes on. And I know that it's been cut back a lot. But I know, and this isn't done on live animals, of course. It's done on a pig carcass. But it's still very disturbing. It takes us down a few pegs on what I like to call, you know, the evolutionary ladder. Taking us down, I think it just takes us back to unnecessary things. It's like wearing a leather belt. What am I, freaking Conan the Barbarian? I got to wear a leather belt? I got to put cows on my shoes, on my feet? You know, what the hell? What year is this? I have to slit the throat of a giant animal, an animal twice to three times as big as me, so I can wear fucking designer sneakers. It's ridiculous. And, you know, the fact that, like, pleather hasn't progressed in tensile strength since the 1970s is just another ridiculous thing as well, you know? This is silly. We have plastics that could last, you know, 100 years or more. And probably the ability to make them porous so that our feet don't smell like we've been wearing plastic bags on our feet all day. And I'm sure that we have this technology and this know-how, and I have faith in the human race. I mean, we could probably make Submariner flying shoes. I don't know. Maybe. That's kind of silly. Our little wings flapping like an insane amount. I mean, can you imagine the thrust that would have to be created in order to lift a human body? And then the Submariner, I don't know how much he weighs, but he's got those four tiny little wings on his ankles. Can you imagine how... I mean, he... in order to get him like an inch off the ground, he would have to expend all the energy he ever had in his entire life, I think. Superheroes. Moving into superheroes now. Anything superhero happened to me recently? It sounds familiar. It sounds familiar. Superheroes. No, I guess not. I guess I was thinking about Pac-Man. I think he's sort of a superhero, right? He had a cartoon. He wears a hat sometimes. He drinks coffee. So that's sort of superhero stuff. He eats the pack thing and he eats ghosts. And then you find out the ghosts are wearing sheets. And they're actually like worm things inside of there. And they're gross. Pac-Man, Namco.com has one of the most amazing stores. Their models are real people. And some of their models are wearing shirts that are way too small for them to be modeling. There's nothing wrong with having big guys, bigger guys, more normal guys like me with the beer belly and things like this, and the handles of lovin' on the side, the two kegs on the side. There's nothing wrong with that. There is a problem if you put them in a shirt that's way too small. But nonetheless, real models at the Namco store. Please check that out. The Namco fan store site thing. And they have some great merchandise in there. Second only, I think, to the We Talk Games Pro Gear store. Shameless plug. But their models were so refreshing. They made me want to buy. And they also have this cool limited edition Pac-Man watch, which is just really neat. And I think I might be getting that as a little gift. So I'm happy about that and excited about that. Although it does have a leather band like Conan the frickin' Barbarian, I'm going to have to see about a replacement for the leather band. If indeed that does happen as a gift. So that's Namco. But in the world of television, I think a lot has been happening. I've been longing to watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So I went to try to get that. I don't know why. Maybe because Cloris Leachman was on the Bob Saget roast. So that's probably what inspired me to watch Mary. And, Well, first, let's talk about Smallville. Smallville season finale left you hanging. We get it opens in no way that it ends. It opens with Clark finding a gift from his mom, the reflection, I don't really know how they showed this, but it was the blue suit with the red and yellow emblem on it. In a box, but he didn't put on or anything. And tons of Superman music, and it starts with like a flash, like a dream he had with Superman music going on there and horns and the everything. So that's interesting. And it ends with, your typical cliffhanger. I can imagine how this one doesn't leave a lot to speculate on, in my opinion. And once again, drawing on, paying homage to, referencing other pop culture things all throughout this series. This Smallville, only watch to see what happens at the end. Much, a lot like the Terminator was getting. Some of the stuff in here, I'm like, why am I wasting my time? Why is this an hour-long show? Honestly, I could have told this story in like 5 minutes, This really drags on. But that happened. But what I really have to talk about is, have you been watching Breaking Bad? Now, you need to watch this series from the beginning, I think, to really understand all the characters, really get into it. Some episodes have been stringing me along like filler. One in particular, the fly one, if you ever saw that one. That one was just, oh my gosh, get to the point already. But the last two, I think, and especially the last one, I don't know if this is a season finale or what, But I just, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, wow, this is, and you know, you're on that show, you're always like, I have no idea where they're going to go from here, how they're going to get out of this. I have no idea. And it's usually not a disappointment. It's usually not, you know, the last 4 minutes of Star Trek The Next Generation. It's like Star Trek The Next Generation, the 98% of the show is getting into the deepest poo that you could never, ever get out of, and then the last 4% is them getting out of it with no problem. That's not an unusual tactic. Let's look at Ultraman. Ultraman was that way too. Everything would be bad, bad, bad. He's still Hayata. What's going on? Changing to Ultraman already, and then da da da. And Ultraman third act, boom, he resolves everything and cuts the other giant monster in half with one of his laser beams. But a bit of pop culture that I definitely wanted to touch on. Something that actually, a show that started before I was born. I believe that this started in 1963. And this is an actor that I have a very hard time watching. And because I almost cry just seeing him. And he was in a lot of shows. He was in Movies of the Week. But the show that is most touching to my heart, most likely because it was something I grew up on, was The Courtship of Eddie's Father. And, of course, I'm talking about Bill Bixby. And, you know, I have a book on magic that has Bixby on a cover for The Magician. We used to start trapdoor shows with this magician dialogue that is all, you know, 1970s echoed up to be, I am all around you, that type of thing. And I think that we started playing it right after he died, as a matter of fact, even though that wasn't the plan. I had recorded it before then, but unfortunately we didn't do a show until after he passed away. And, you know, that's so sad. But The Courtship of Eddie's Father is, I can only find two episodes. So number one, I'm upset about this because it's not available on DVD or anything else. I doubt it's even available on Laserdisc or video. I'm having a hard time finding it. I know there's a petition out there, probably has as many people signed it that listen to this show, which is, you know, incredibly sad. But I had two episodes and I watched them yesterday, and you know, the acid tears welled up in my dry eyes, and nothing, you know, dust came out, but definitely it smarted, and I got very choked up. And just the opening song is you know, an amazing part. It opens with a monologue, usually with Eddie's father, Mr. Eddie's father, and Eddie walking on the beach, and it's shot from afar, and then they voice over some little words of wisdom and innocence questions and things like this. So I need to have that entire series, but unfortunately, you know, it's nowhere. I found two torrents and that was it. Kahura, I need to once again thank. I just received another gift today. Thank you, Kahura. The God Virus, How Religion Infects Our Lives and Culture, by Daryl W. Ray, Ed D. So I'm really looking forward to that. And he also got me Pinball Passion, a DVD documentary about pinball. Now, of course, we endorse Tilt, The Battle to Save Pinball. It's a fantastic documentary by someone that we've had on a show twice now, Greg Miletic. But this was something on my wish list, and I thank you very, very much for that. It was quite informative. I watched that the other day. It So you had a little bit of time to do that. And today, all I wanted to do was play Rock Band, because evidently the Jimi Hendrix has been available for a whole long time now, and it's Axis Bold as Love, which is my favorite Jimi Hendrix album. Speaking of music, why don't we switch over to that? Let me open up Logic, and I'll open up the song I did for Chikarosaurus Rex. All right, now, I released this C-Rex, and I'm on take three. It definitely needs a take four. I'm not through mixing this. It's just that it got to a point where I was satisfied enough to, allow the public to hear it. So, but it started out a lot different than, a lot different than how it, than how it turned out. If you heard it in the Chikara Podcast a go-go, or if the event centers have come out. I don't think they've come out at all. But that's something that I passed off. I passed off the event centers. I still shoot the event centers. I make sure the environment happens for the event centers, because the person that took over is not great at green screen. And I got to tell you, it's a tough key. That is a very difficult key. My green screen, because it's awful. Because it's essentially party. Party plastic tablecloths. Yeah. So it's a limeish green. I should have went with the blue, and we could have more blondes. Like Chizzy's hair was such a nightmare when because I use green. Blonde hair always goes better with a blue screen, because the blonde can really have a lot of bleed through, and because of the flavor, shall we say, of my green, it's a lot. There's a lot of yellow in there, so I have trouble with yellows as well. In fact, I have more trouble with yellows and greens, because most greens are like a forest green, a darker green, so it doesn't interfere with my green screen. But not the case for the yellows. If they're warm yellows, it's still bad. But that's a green screen. Let's talk about the C-Rex song here. So I started. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to. Noel had picked up this practice bass off my wish list. And I talked about this on a previous episode. It's an Ashbury. You can look at these things. There are these mini basses that have rubber band strings. They have these bungee cord rubber strings. And I really wanted to use that to create a new song. And this was popping a cherry on that, as they say, as the kids say, on this Ashbury. So I started just put down a very basic drum track. I no longer have the drum track in here. But there's a click in here. I knew I wanted to start to build with this arpeggio sort of going in the background. But I mostly built it around the bass. And this is the sort of bass I came up with here. Whoa, that's kind of crazy. My fat fingers trying to get on there. Okay, so from there I said, that's kind of stinks. So I changed it to this here, this pattern here. A little bit different rhythm to it. I left those mistakes, and they sound good when everything's happening. So that's what I came up with. And then I had the whole song finished with that bass line. And I realized, this is poop. So, and it wasn't really making the entire song flow. And I'm gonna probably wrap up with this song. I'll wrap up and I'll play it now. You have to hear it twice. So then I settled on this, and I'll try to switch back and forth between it. Let's say, I think, which one is it? Oh, yeah, this. That's low. I didn't realize.
We stand together, I stand alone. Standing is the key.
So the bass line here is... Yeah. It's nice.
And what's to come? The talk is all I see. But you can run, you can hide, you can stop and wonder why. But you can't get away from me. You can run, you can hide, you can stop and wonder why. But you can't get...
Yeah, bass is kind of wacky. It's really funny because on this Ashbury, those the frets, well, number one, it's fretless, so I can do those slides nicer with this this beginning here that I more traditional. And so also, of course, something that was important to me was the vocals, which is another part that really helps bind the thing together here.
We stand together, I stand alone.
I need new headphones. Those are noisy.
Sometimes question the path I chose. When it's over, I just let it be. The shadows passed, and what's to come? A target is all I see. You can run, you can hide, you can stop and wonder why, but you can't get away from me. You can run, you can hide, you can stop and wonder why, but you can't get away from me. Feel the shame, feel the pride. You can brush it all aside, but you can't get away from me.
And then we overload. I don't know what's going on.
Time has come, the time has come, today the time has come.
Oh, there's my snaps. I didn't know my snaps were in there. Jeez, I'm Michael Jackson. I kept my snaps in. But I didn't realize how noisy. Tons of noise popping through my headphones here. So, you know, that's how that song came about. It's the biggest shame is that I take... Now, I wrote this in an afternoon. I mean, I wrote this on a Friday. I was done by, like, 2 o'clock. And that's why I had to go back in. I went back into it on Sunday, thankfully, before I released it and changed the bass line. It really all came together. I'll play the entire song at the end of the show. But, you know, this is the thing. I think I had the lyrics, most of the lyrics, fleshed out a bit before I had the song done. I knew that I wanted to write a new song for Chikara Source Rex. And they call it Chikara Source Rex, King of Show. Now, I immediately knew that this was a nod towards Godzilla, because Godzilla is king of monster. So I got that right away. And a lot of giant creatures like Ultraman and things like this, a lot of them are bad English when the subtitle is breathed into it. So I knew right away it was Godzilla. Now, many people might not think that the lyrics I wrote are Godzilla-esque, but I wanted to write a song, and lyrically speaking, be about not being able to get away. I have a target, I have a locked in. I wanted it to convey that it doesn't matter if I'm part of a team. Like, I was thinking mostly of Eddie Kingston right there. It doesn't matter if he's helping out, you know, a Chikara Trios or something. It doesn't matter if he's part of a group or not. He stands together. He stands alone. It doesn't matter as long as he stays standing. And then, you know, fighting against this whole insurmountable, the new pantheon, the Bruderschaft, this imposing force. As soon as the target's locked in, then that's what's going to happen. If Godzilla's after you, it's going to be hard to get away because it's just this giant foot coming down and you're going to get squashed. So that's what I had in my mind when I started to write this. I had a goal and I tried to reach that goal, and the process getting there was fun. The difficult part was rhyming this whole thing, because finding words that would rhyme with the direction I was going and some of the end key words that had to happen was very difficult, to come up with something that didn't sound incredibly forced and horrible and goofy. So the lyrics go, "We stand together, I stand alone, standing is the key. I sometimes question the path I chose, when it's over I just let it be. The shadows passed and what's to come, the target is all I see. You can run, you can hide, and you can stop to wonder why, but you can't get away from me. It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter. It's gonna," and it sounds a little stalky, you know, stalkerish, but it's not. It's more about a big thing. Big shadow. Ah, yes! That's another thing I can talk about. Oh, there's so much to talk about, friends. There's so much to talk about. But I actually have to wrap it up soon. And then it goes, "Feel the shame, feel the pride. You can brush it all aside because you can't get away from me." And it doesn't matter if... when it all comes down to it, I know that right now, the whole Claudio, you're gonna show me respect and stuff like that. Even that is inconsequential to this looming juggernaut. The time has come. The time has come today. The time has come. It's showing that, you know, now it is happening. It is too late. It's already here. Deal with it. What are you going to do now? No more planning. It's all over. Now though, in my opinion, those are pretty good lyrics. Now, I'm a big fan of Alice Cooper, and even since the early days of the Alice Cooper, the band, the Alice Cooper, and into his solo years. The initial solo albums, the Bob Ezra era, and definitely beyond, his Dada album. Wow, he's had some great hits. Cold Ethel is an incredibly rocking song that I don't think you could be in a rock band and hear Cold Ethel and not want to do this song. I mean, in my opinion. You know, I've talked about AC/DC on a couple shows before, and you know, they're not my favorite band. I definitely appreciate them. I understand them. They definitely stuck to a formula, no doubt about that. And it's genuine. It doesn't seem like it's just some type of front. You know, it seems like that is really them. But as much fun as it is to do like an AC/DC song, because you just veg and rock out, I think Cold Ethel, as one song, I would rather do that one song than do, you know, a dozen AC/DC songs, which are perfectly good songs in their own right. The problem with Cold Ethel is that, of course, it's about necrophilia, number one. And number two, it's pretty goofy, okay? Lyrically, if you just read those lyrics, you would think this is pretty goofy. And there's even worse. Zorro's Accent, I think it was called, from Zipper Catches Flesh. The Make That Money, the Ode to Mr. Scrooge song. Boy, I'm just trying to think of all the songs off of Zipper Catches Flesh. Almost every song off of there is kind of. I need to give examples. I know that. The one song for E.T., the one song written for E.T. was "We're No Baloney, We're Homo Sapiens." It's about aliens. "Please don't eat us." And that's the name of the song. "No Baloney, Homo Sapiens." "Tag You're It" is a song off of Zipper Catches Flesh. And it's like about Jason or one of those guys. Now I know that when what was that one guy's name? Bushwick Bill. He used to sing about Chucky. Chucky the horror doll, Seed of Chucky, and that type of thing. But Cooper's is like.
A knitting needle. His vision's still not clear. Uh-huh. He's stumbling round, don't make a sound, and then he grabs you. Hide and seek, my dear.
And it ends with him catching you, and then he says, "Tag, you're it." Adaptable, that's not bad. "I Am the Future," that's pretty good. That was the theme song for. Wow. Class of 1984, I think. That was the movie then. It was supposed to be some type of futuristic. Oh, yeah, because 84 was like in the future, I guess, when that came out. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good song. And then, that's right, Cooper also did like "The Man Behind the Mask." He's back, "The Man Behind the Mask." That was in a future album, I think. Let's see. The first song. "I'm Alive." "That was the day my dead pet returned to save my life." Wow. Wow. "Make That Money," Scrooge's song, which I love these songs. It's just that, you know, lyrically, sometimes they're not all there. So, you know, I try to make a song that, my goal is not to make people think. My goal is not to say I'm a great songwriter. My goal is to tell a story and to tell that story through music. And to me, music at times involves lyrics. And I don't want to just say Chikarosaurus Rex. Chikarosaurus Rex is like Godzilla. You can't escape because the foot's coming down. You know, that would be kind of silly. Eddie Kingston takes on the Brutishaft. He's teaming up with the Chikara guys. Some of them wear masks and some of them wear hoods. What you gonna do when they come for you? Thing that was already taken. You know, so I mean, I guess I could do that, but that's kind of it just doesn't make a song happen for me. A song has to be more than that. It can tell a story. It doesn't have to. It could be just a fun song. I've written plenty of fun songs. "Wiggly Time Traveler." Although that has, you know, some things in it. Speaking of "Wiggly Time Traveler." "Wiggly Frog Catcher. He catches frogs." I never mentioned this, but to get completely out of the C-Rex song, which I think I've over-explained already. The only part I didn't explain was... let's see here. Yeah, here it is. Hold on. Stand by. Open a mic and go, I guess is what happens. So, the other day... I hate people start things with stuff. But the other day, buy.com had a special on the simple and easy way to improve your singing. Singer's Advantage works in 3 easy steps. This is a booklet, a DVD, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A DVD and one, two, three, seven. Okay. A DVD and seven CDs. And it is follow in the footsteps of your idol. Make singing as easy as speaking. Now, the name on the box says American Idol. And if you listen to his show, you know the only thing, only reason I know American Idol and who's on it, Al Roker, I guess, Donnie and Marie, I think. The only reason I know that they're on it is because I see them in my video game of American Idol. I've never watched an episode of American Idol, ever. I mean, I just haven't watched it. It just doesn't interest me. Because to me, becoming famous through a contest is, I don't know, it's not appealing to me. And, I mean, you can win contests. Trapdoors won some contests already. But I think that making you, and, you know, it's not like the winners of American Idol won a recording session. It's that they won the whole enchilada. The money, the advertising, instant star type of stuff. Now, maybe they won't be an instant star if they don't have the goods to back it up in the long run. But to me, it's not like it's a shortcut. Sure, I'm sure jealousy plays a part into it. But to me, it's something takes away. You have to be really amazing, I think, to come out of that baggage. For me, that's just me. Do I like people that won on Star Search? Sure. You know, that's the same type of thing, though. But in Star Search, it was all the people voting. I don't know how American Idol works, to be honest with you, so I don't know. And I really don't follow pop culture very much, so, you know, I don't know. But this thing went on sale, and I am always looking to improve myself. One of the biggest problems I have is that I've been singing, I've been playing a keyboard for, I don't know how long. I haven't been playing a keyboard for as long as I've been singing, but I've been singing for well over 30 years. And I've never learned how to sing. I've never learned how to play the piano. I never learned how to play the keyboards. I never took any bass lessons. You know, these are things that I just taught myself over time. And I never really even taught myself how to sing. I just tried to sing along with other things and see what happens without trying to imitate what I was hearing. But this, it was to teach me how to sing as easy as I speak. And they say that I'm going to not have any blind spots. I'll be able to smooth those out. And although I had no time to read this book before I cut this song, I did read it. And it says that you should only sing. What they're going to teach you in here is to sing as loud as you speak. So that's what I actually tried in this song. Now, there are some parts where I, you know, go a little bit over that volume. But layered in there is more of a speaking singing. And that's why, in my opinion, you can actually hear me singing a bit on this song. I'm not just screaming all the time. So there you go. I actually used the techniques without knowing the techniques yet. And I actually hope to do these because, from what I understand, some of these CDs are like 8 minutes long. Why is there a whole CD dedicated to that? I don't know. But I saw this, I think it was $9.99 or something. And I thought, you know what? And they have a male version and a female version. I said, you know, I really need to invest in myself. And if I want to do music, I want to make a new album, I need to learn how to sing and not blow my voice out. Imitating Don West was really horrible for my voice. And when I tried to sing after doing that for a couple years, it was difficult and it sucked. So I hope to get back on the singing track and bring that to everyone, bring that to the world. And I hope it does well. Now, here's the other problem with these Chikara songs. This might not be a bad song. I also tried to write a song that was different than the other songs I've ever written. And once again, I didn't go out of my way to do that. But I think that the song was... He cut this video that this appeared in with the Dragon Gate people and the people from Chikara, and he cut this video to, pardon me, this raining song by Staind. You probably heard this if you've heard Raining Again. He cut the video to this song that you've probably heard if you're a wrestling fan.
Piece of glass, if holy pay my ass, cozy show, a boopy boo beep boo.
So he cut it to that, so I had to write something in that tempo and with that feeling that starts with a more mellow piece and then gets more intense, although they really don't get more intense. that's what I was trying to do something in those lines, in that line, I should say. Hey, did you know Bob Price was on the last episode? Boy, that was a great episode. And you know what the best episodes are? The ones where I don't have to speak that much. Yes. I hope to have him on in the future if I didn't mention that. So that sort of helped play into what the style of music. But then, of course, I hope that the song that I created is semi-unclassifiable. I mean, I know it probably falls into rock, but that's a huge umbrella. It's a huge umbrella, and hopefully can do well with that. Now, the big problem is, with all these Chikara songs like I was trying to get to, I had to write a song for a video. It had to be, a minute 20 long. So now I have this song, which has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's only a minute 20, and now I have to try to somehow expand all of these little minute opening songs to full songs. They're not fully realized songs. They're jingles, basically. And doing that is like writing an entirely new song. Basically, I have a framework to work in, but now I have to try to get more creative on top of something that's fairly complete, like the 2008 Chikara theme, like the 2009 Chikara theme. I'm like drawing blanks. Now I have to try to write more lyrics that I already had a hard time writing the initial lyrics. And you know, what I could do is just copy and paste the whole thing onto itself again at the end, but that kind of stinks. So I definitely need time to work on that, and that's why I've been trying to get out of Chikara. I think I've told everyone this on previous episodes. I'm not sure, but I'm trying to wean out of my responsibilities for the Chikara Podcast at GoGo. I probably won't be at a lot of live shows anymore either. When they play Easton, I'll be glad to handle sound, bring my sound system. You know, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, though, if someone's going to be their normal sound person. But usually it's pretty welcomed when I jump in on sound. You may have also noticed that I opened my own YouTube channel. Now, it's a real shot in the gut when you go from over 3,000 listeners to, you know, 15. And also starting from zero with this interview Starcade with no publicity, with no anything else, is, that's a kick in the gonads as well. Starting with 8 listeners, things like this. And then we see it build over the weeks, which is gratifying, over the days, actually, which is gratifying. But, you know, it's still a far cry from where I hope it will eventually be. And unless we get featured, I don't think we'll ever get, the Smart Wrestling Fan was incredibly lucky. We got featured early on, and even the people at StickCam liked the things I produced. And I've mentioned that before. They wanted me to continue doing whatever type of show I wanted, because they wanted to feature me, and people in the back room there like my stuff. So, but we got very, very fortunate that, number one, we hit the market early. We were the first pro wrestling podcast that was not just one person. So there was only like one other pro wrestling podcast in the music store when we started. And we started right around the same time. And so, you know, that was a big foot in the door. I don't think we ever would have received the following that we did without those good fortunes being in place there. And, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, We Talk Games is in a sea of, I think the video game genre has more podcasts than any other genre. I honestly believe that. And we're up against big corporations. I mean, there's not just ESPN in it like it was with the pro wrestling gimmick. There's, you know, all the internet, all the televised G4s and the big boys and the 1UPs and the things like this and the, you know, Mega 64s and all, everyone with a budget, with a huge web, pre-existing web presence that they built over time. I mean, it's not like this just came out of nowhere. And they built through various means. Sexy ladies, uncomfortable situations, funny as hell videos and things like this. So, you know, we're really up against huge competitions. And unless Interview Starcade gets featured, I don't think... It has to get featured. It has to be favorited by some people in iTunes that enjoy it, somehow get exposed to it. I tried to make the best album art I could. I've been having a blast doing album art. I think if my job was to do album art, I would be a happy, happy man. I've been working on this Bobbles, this upcoming Bobbles album art, and I want to do a lot more ambitious things to it, and I know I'm just not going to have time, and it's sad because that's what I would really like to be working on. Honestly, I have as much fun making the album art as I do in making the podcast, although the album art is usually made while I'm bouncing the audio tracks out of Logic. And I really don't take a lot of time to make the album art for a Wiggly World. I would like to, but it just would be... I think it would be too difficult to rack my brain to try to figure out what I would like to do with it and how to encompass all the paths that I go down in this show. I don't even know where the hell I am. Album art, artwork. I'm making it with these shows in a flooded market. So yeah, you know, it's very saturated, and I'd love to see us do better. I think that we deliver a really unique product, and a very special product too. And I'm very proud of We Talk Games. But I think we arrived here because I was trying to get out of my Chikara video responsibilities. I've handed off, I think, the event centers. I've handed off, although, like I mentioned, I'm still filming. I'm still doing some editing. It's only camera audio on the new event centers that will happen. Although I did, you know, put some type of adaptive limiting on it, so it's compressed and limited. Cole Cabana also talked to him at the last Chikara event. Oh, no, was he there? No, he wasn't there. I'm sorry. I spoke to a colleague of his, and the colleague told me that Colt wanted to get into creating podcasts, so trying to give him a couple tips there as far as recording devices and how to make everything happen for him. So that's kind of cool. That's neat. Still, you know, I've met a lot of nice people through pro wrestling, and boy, I mean, the listeners. Oh, that's how we got here. The listeners that I have through that show are, like I said, some of the closest people. My extended family. Thank you for still being here. But the Interview Starcade was a chance to try to start fresh. Try to get some people also subscribe to video game related podcasts. When you go to, and you look at We Talk Games, it's all my old shows, or you know, some spin-off of that. And that's cool that people followed me from there, maybe you're still subscribed to the other things. You know, more power to you, whatever you want to subject yourself to, that's cool with me. Thank you for listening. You know, that's all I can really say, and thank you for at least being there. But I would like to break in with our contemporaries in the video gaming industry, and that's why we hope to do that through Interview Starcade. We give Kyle and I give a little backstory on the person we have on the line, and then the interview is featured, and then we wrap it up, and maybe more story. So that will be released every 2 weeks. So please subscribe to Interview Starcade. Kyle posted, don't subscribe to anything. Make sure you're only subscribed to other video gaming podcasts when you subscribe to ours, which would be awesome, but you know, it's kind of unrealistic. I know that probably won't be, but it would help if you weren't subscribed to other things that might be a conflict of interest, shall we say. Yeah, there's still bullshit going on that every now and then rears its ugly freaking head. I'm trying to keep it a little cleaner today, although I really have other words on my tongue there. They just I'm trying to block them. C-block them, I was going to say, but I held back. So, the songs. Getting out of them. So, I hope to, be able to concentrate more on music and create better products moving forward. My time with Chikara has been great. It's been a fun 4 years. But my ability to grow in the company has ceased. I'm far too busy doing far too much. I think I did speak about this a little bit. The things that I am trying to offload are being offloaded to a group of people. Even now, what I'm doing is too much for one person. Especially one person that has a job, you know, that's the big caveat. If I didn't have a job, it'd be fine. But unfortunately, you don't really get paid to just be able to do this because it's a small organization. And like I said, I have been getting commission or what have you per session basis, but it's nowhere. They wouldn't be able to afford to have done what I do for them. No doubt about it. Even if I cut my rate by, 75%, they still probably wouldn't be able to afford that. So I'm still doing a lot. I'm still involved. You notice that, that's what I was talking about, subscribers, right, to YouTube. So my Real Wiggly has gone away. Now it's under Bionic Wiggly, which is what I'm mostly under with other things like Twitter and various gaming networks and stuff like that because, there's already a Wiggly. Evidently, there's a Wiggly that's a girl that was on some type of Leave It to Chachi, I Want to Date Another Girl type of show on VH1. I don't know what it's called. I killed a girl and now people want to date me because I have a heart and a sword through it, tattoo. And my name is Easy Me. I don't know what it is called, and that wasn't funny. Tells jokes, laughs at his own jokes. I'm done. I'm tired. I got to tell you, I'm tired, everyone. I have a lot more to talk about. Wiggly Frog Catcher. I forgot. I sung it. I didn't even go. Hey, and that's another thing. Courtship of Eddie's Father. The credits say that the song was sunged by XXX. Whoever sunged the song. I never heard sunged. It was sunged. I have to open my dictionary now. Bunged. Bunged. Wow. There's one for Words with Friends. Bung. A stopper for closing a hole in a container. Oh, I see. Bunged. From Middle Dutch. Bung. B-O-N-G-H-E. Wow. So you could be bunged. Lunged. And singed. Singed. How about that? Singed. Snugged, sunned, and surged. Singed. How about that? From the Dutch Zengen. Z-E-N-G-E-N. Zengen. Singed. A smell of singed feathers. See note at burn. What? Be buried in this way. The heat was so intense I could feel the hairs on my hands singed. Oh, I am such a dork. Superficially or lightly, the fire has singed his eyebrows. Singed. What is wrong with me? Well, anyway, Korchubaevsky's father says sunged by. So, maybe they're just being funny. And once again, on a tangent, I have no idea how I got here. Let me get those neurons going, figure this out. Singed, sunged, singed. Oh, yes, Wiggly Frog Catcher. So, if I hadn't told you before, I don't know if I did. The beginning of spring, which, as you know, is also called summer because it's hot. Now, I hear that it's supposed to cool off in the summer or late summer, and then supposed to be a little bit warmer into fall again. But as you know, we just like a heat wave type of thing happened immediately. So my swimming pool got toads. Now, the first night, I caught 9 toads. And I thought, this is unbelievable. Well, over the course of the next few weeks, I caught well over 50 toads. And they really bother me because, you know, as soon as you're getting ready to go to bed, they're out there chirping away. Heep, heep, heep. I can't even imitate them right now. It's been a while. I really got rid of them. Now, what did I do? I put them in a bucket. I catch them. I was catching them with this, like, plastic, one of these plastic gimmicks that you would make, not shelves out of, but, you know, they're like square baskets. And they have real deep ones that you used to be able to put your albums in. And then they have more shallow ones that you just put, I don't know, junk in. And you can pile these stackable bins that are sort of like milk crates. You know, they're sort of like that, but they were colored. And I have some of these. And so I catch the frogs in this because they just hop into the middle. We have a covered over swimming pool in our yard that's not able to be used anymore. And that's where they were all hanging out. So I caught all of them. And, you know, I get my flashlight and go there and shine the light in their eyes, and they, like, are immobilized. And then I scoop them up and put them in a bucket. And then I take them down to the creek, the Nancy Run Creek, which is a couple miles down the road. And then I let them go. So, like I said, well over 50 over the course of a couple weeks. And now they're all gone. So, Wiggly Frog Catcher. Ah, yeah, that will be my album art, I think, one of my first catches. I'll put that up. And then another thing that happened that I don't think I talked about, I hit a groundhog with my riding mower. Now, we have a groundhog, and this is what I record on my iPad this morning, because let me first tell the original groundhog story. Number one, I hate groundhogs, and I want them all to die. Number two, we have a groundhog that digs under this little utility shed that's attached to my chicken coop. And when I say it digs in, when I blocked it with concrete and giant spikes, metal spikes and stuff like this, when I blocked the entranceways and the holes that it already dug, it now chews the wood off the freaking shed to get in. So I'm very upset about this, and then it digs a hole under the house. And, you know, it's bull poop, as the kids say. So one day I heard it digging in there, and I had already covered up all the holes that it had dug previously. So I went out there with my giant, sledgehammer, and I was just going to do the deed. Because I had tried to humanely get rid of this thing with live traps, by blocking, filling in the holes, concreting them up, blocking with chicken wire. I have done everything to humanely C-block this damn groundhog, and it just doesn't get the hint. Poured bleach in the ground, around the holes and things like this to try to dissuade it with the smell, and all different types of caustic cocktails, and probably took a few years off my life with all the different things I tried to not harm this thing and just keep it out of my damn yard. So it and then none of them worked. So I was just gonna kill it. I was gonna hit it with a freaking sledgehammer. So I had my sledgehammer out, and I went out there, and I saw that it had dug in. So I pushed all the dirt against the side of the house so it would be trapped inside the utility shed. And it, indeed it was. And now this utility shed, I keep my riding mower in now. I'd cleaned it out, which, let me tell you, there was some stuff in there that would make any haunted house jealous, because there was some nasty, ugly stuff in there. Scythes and sickles that were rusted, rusty nails, rusty giant balls of chicken wire, like an old rusty bird cage, a cash register that I had smashed years ago on stage. All this nasty, nasty stuff was in there. And like I said, it was like a torture. Like if you've seen the movie Saw, I've never seen Saw, but I saw the different grimy movie posters for it. This was 100 times grimier than any Saw movie or Saw movie poster. So it was like Saw. It was like mini. It was like condensed Saw in there. You add water, you get the whole Saw movie. It expands in like a sponge in a petri dish. So, I cleaned that out, and now this groundhog thinks that it's going to live in here, and I park the riding mower in there. So I go in, and he's in there, and he's getting scared, and he's probably pupping his diapers, as groundhogs are known to do, and I'm going to whack him. I'm going to whack him with the thing, but he instead tries to make a beeline. He goes under the ride mower. So I'm just trying to get him out, and I always have the ride mower in neutral, so I can physically manually wheel it out. Even though it's a big ride mower, but you have to try to wheel it out, and that's the way that the gears unlock is in neutral. So I was like, I can't move it. So I picked up the ass end of the ride mower. Which has the engine block on and everything, the heavy end. And I slammed it down, and when you know, it killed him. I hit a groundhog with my riding mower. But I picked it up and hit him with it. So that's hilarious to me. And, I was very sad, and I put him in a garbage bag and threw him out with the garbage. But, it still bothers me, and I'm not happy about it. But pests are pests, and you have to draw the line somewhere sometimes. If I could have just knocked him out, I would have been happy with that. But, unfortunately, I killed him. Now his sibling didn't quite catch her soon enough to prevent this from, or him, I don't know, but one of their relatives is now doing the same thing, and woke me up at 6 this morning chewing another hole in my shed. And I tried to go in there and knock that, kill that one as well, but I could not. This time I buried chicken fence under half of the garage there, half of that shed there. I buried chicken wire like half an inch down, so that when it tries to go and dig a hole, it can't, because there's chicken wire there. It doesn't like cut itself or anything, just it prevents it from digging a hole, and then it gets mad and leaves. And that's what happened the first time it dug back in there. It saw that it couldn't do anything, and it split. Well, now it figured out how to pull back some of the chicken wire, and it dug the biggest damn hole under my almost into my house that I've ever seen. So I'm quite upset about that. So those are my frog catching and hitting a gopher with the lawnmower stories. Now Devo also just came out with a new album, and I have the link in my show notes. Please click on that and give me a few pennies per song, because the album's definitely worth it. And also pick up Jihad Jerry's songs. Jihad Jerry is Jerry Casales, who gave me permission to use the Wiggly World theme song that opens this episode from Devo. And he brings back a couple of the old Devo tunes that you only if you're a hardcore fan of Devo, like I Need a Chick. And he sings it all in there. He sings it all. That is a great song. I love that song. I don't know. Lighten up, everyone. If you think it's offensive, I think it's hilarious, and it's quite true. And talk about lyrical goodness. There's a song that isn't going to change the world, but is very true. It's very true. In a good way. For men, it's good. What else? The God. I can't wait to start reading this stuff in Pinball Fan. This is all. I'm so. Thank you all for listening to me. Thank you all for letting me be a part of your life. And I'm definitely going to have. I wanted to get to some letters. Let me grab some real quick, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Wow, I cannot find my letters. I found two because they're rather new. One thing I noticed that when I went to between the ropes. Let me just go there again. BetweenTheRopes.com. Let's see here. BetweenTheRopes.com. I noticed that when I went here. Oh, look at that! Between the Ropes, 512 fans. There's Eddie McKenna, Benny, and there's Phil. There's Phil. So tying into this, Ronan Grimm says here, I just thought I'd message you as another musician. And then he self-deprecates here, which is uncalled for because he's very good. Just wanted to get your opinion on some of my earlier stuff. If you like it, you can use it on a Wiggly World if you want. And I definitely want to. Today, like I said, I'm going to end with the C-Rex theme song, Take 3. And he says, you can get it on my music page on my site, which is grimmachine.com. Grimmachine.com. G-R-I-M. Grim Machine. It's sort of like Grim Machine. Grim Machine. Sort of like Grimace, except with Hine on it. Grimachine. Or check the show notes. Thanks for listening, Wiggly. And I really like the stuff. And you can get it as well by going to grimmachine.com. but I think it's good stuff, and I'm definitely going to play it on a future episode, so thank you. Here, this is from Jim Hsu. I like to do this here. Dear Wiggly, I was recently... Now, I'm sorry that I don't have all your letters. I have to find them. I was cleaning up one day because Haley Jane was supposed to stop by, and she ran out of gas money, and it's a whole long story. So... I don't know where all the letters went, and I'm trying to get together all this other business for the house. Oh, the house thing. I didn't talk about that. Let me wrap with that. But let me do this letter here. Dear Wiggly, I was recently... Listen, let me write that down. House. Because a lot of people have been asking. I was recently listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. Joe Rogan? Okay. Well, everybody's got to listen to something, I guess. And he said something very interesting. It was... called the fart theory. It was, if you had no nose and someone farted, you would have no idea there was a smell around you, and you would be sitting there in someone else's stench. Do you think that there are things or happenings occurring around us all the time that we can't sense? Definitely. That's why we build implements to test for these radioactivity, odorless gases. We have odorless gases all the time. That's what this whole radon thing is. And as someone buying a house, you can, in the state of Pennsylvania, you can have a voluntary or not voluntary, whatever they call that when you decide to do, I mean, it means voluntary, inspection for radon, or you could just forego it. Because most basements are going to have radon. You just open a window and what do you know? It's not a harmful amount of radon anymore. So, of course, we're being bombarded by all different types of X-rays and gamma rays and photons. We're exchanging our elements. We're exchanging our makeups with other people, other stars, other things. We're composed of the same atoms that were used from the very beginning. Energy can not be created nor destroyed, just transformed. And matter and energy are the same. E equals mc squared, so we talk about that. So, you know, it's really amazing stuff. So there's stuff all around us all the time that, we cannot, that we don't know we're sitting in, as you say, these stenches. And, you know, once again, coming out of Joe Rogan, he's big into conspiracy. He believes every there's not a conspiracy that he doesn't believe or know. And that's just, that's not disparaging. That's just the truth. As far as I am to understand from my listening to him. And but I'm sure that, you know, I don't know what his stance on ghosts are, but, you know, that's what people think, ghosts. But the problem here is that the description of ghosts and what ghosts do, and this is what we go into in other episodes of A Wiggly World, the way that ghosts manifest themselves and behave, we have devices that can measure those types of things. So that's how we can prove inconclusively that there are no such things as ghosts. There's no reason why we should believe that there is any type of ghost or continuation of soul or anything like that, because then you run into all other types of problems as well. You run into problems of the immortality of the soul. Well, that means that it already existed and then it's put into a body. You know, why to go to that trouble if your soul can... you know, do all this stuff without the need of a body or physical realm or anything else. It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, that type of thing, we can measure these things that we don't know of. Now, are there things that we cannot measure, like dark energy that people speculate and things like this? To me, dark energy doesn't exist either, dark energy or dark matter, because... It's more of a hypothesis. Now, we can see the effects of it. It fits into a formula nicely. So there's a lot going for it. Same for like quantum mechanics. I mean, we really can't, as yet, be a zillion percent sure of it. But statistically and mathematically, it's one of the most sure things that exists. Yeah. So, yes, definitely, and, you know, I'm sure that you're not necessarily talking about that type of stuff, but that's where I go. Thanks, Jim. And he says, check out the Joe Rogan podcast on iTunes. Well, maybe I'll do that. Don't have a lot of time to just sit and listen to things with the type of media I create, although I do, from time to time, try to join in different live things and stuff like that while I'm... Even when I'm editing other stuff, I can edit sometimes, depending on what the content is, with some things going on in the background. The other thing I wanted to mention about this, what the hell was it? Oh, boy. Ah, yes. When you said Joe Rogan was talking about the fart theory, I've already heard fart hypotheses before. And I think the first one I heard was from Steve Martin, and you know I... used to do that stuff verbatim. So he had his own theory, and that was about the fart zone. Where do all the farts go after you leave the farts? And they go up into the upper atmosphere to the fart zone and right above the ozone level, the ozone layer. And that's why protecting the ozone layer is so important, because if the ozone layer fails, all the farts will return, and not necessarily to their original owners. So that's why protecting the ozone is so important. Those are the only two letters that I could find, so I apologize for that. As far as our house search goes, if you know, Chiz and I have been looking for a house for quite a few many months now. And we were waiting on a short sale, which, as I've also mentioned, or if you've ever dealt with this, can be either... a good experience, or the majority of the time, a very bad experience. And it can get all the way to settlement, and then the banks decide that they don't want to do that anymore. Well, we decided that instead of sitting around waiting, we were going to pay to have an inspection done to see just how much it was going to cost to bring it up to code, because it definitely looked like it needed to be fixed up a bit. The many... electrical boxes, one of them was buzzing, and I also noticed that there was some problem with some of the brick And definitely the third floor was just a disaster area. Now, this was the big, big, giant hotel-looking thing that was in Freemansburg, which I would have loved to have gotten because it was really big enough to hold everything that I have comfortably and allow me to continue doing videos and stuff like this. Well, we had a fella in, and he didn't even charge us for the inspection because, number one, it was far bigger than he had ever thought, so he would have needed a crew to help him with it, especially since none of the electricity was marked, and they would have had to go through the whole house and try to trace all that, which would have gone into several hundred dollars, probably closer to a grand, I would think, to do a full inspection of that place. But we also noticed some structural damage. We noticed some leaking in the moisture in the walls and some of the other basements. And it was sort of like this. To get it up to code probably would have cost around $50,000. And then over the next 5 years, it probably would have cost us another $50,000, $60,000. So altogether, it would have been just far too much, way out of our price range or our comfort level. So we decided, thankfully we did that, and he didn't even charge us for the inspection, as I mentioned. But we used him again in our new home, and that's what we told him we would do. Because he's a pretty good guy, he's a really good guy, much better than the person we had inspect our first home. And very thorough inspection. He was also part of this LATIP I mentioned, and I went to one of these meetings, and it's pretty good. You know, if you have a business, you probably want to be a part of this LATIP. Because especially in our Bethlehem or Allentown, Lehigh Valley Network, they really get a lot of cross business between the LATIP members. I mean, a lot. When I went to our inspector's place of business, he had another LATIP member in there credit card machines. So if anyone ever invites you to LATIP, I say go. The problem with me is that ours are scheduled on Monday mornings at like 10 of 7, which is just out of the question for me to get to Allentown. And not only that, right now I'm just far too busy with my projects to take on anything else. So even if I would get business out of there, can't take any new clients. I'm like the barbers I've called or the psychiatrist. That Wednesday we decided, okay, we need to start looking again. Chiz saw an open house for this house in Easton on Saturday. She went, she liked it a lot. It's another big house. I don't know what it is, 1600 square feet or something, but it's two floors, a full basement. With a shorter ceiling, but a nice washroom and stuff down there, a nice tinker area. It has its own transom and stuff. And then it has an attic, perfect for storage. It's all done. This is a house from the 1790s, but you would never know because for the past 35 years, the couple that's retired now and they already bought their a little... not a row home, but a little trailer park home for, you know, elderly people. It was also zoned to be an apartment as well. So the second floor, pardon me, has its own fuse box and its own, like, entrance from the back as well as an entrance from the main floor. We will be able to fit the bar. It's nice and big. It's perfect for us as well. The only problem was that it was on 8th, between 8th and 9th in Easton, off Northampton Street. And for the most part, that is not the best neighborhood. Now, I know that a lot of listeners here probably live in some pretty nasty neighborhoods. Some probably live in very nice neighborhoods. There's some nice neighborhoods in Bethlehem and some lousy ones, and just same for Easton. So, you know, like high crime rates and vandalism. Chizzy's grandma lives about 2 or 3 blocks away, and her house is constantly vandalized. And they really want her to move out of there, but she won't. She even had some people come to her house and just barge right in and say they were from like some type of... not antique dealers, but something like this. And here was just a big scam that they were playing on elderly people in the Easton area. So, you know, it's a pretty crappy neighborhood. When she told her parents, they were like, "You're out of your mind." You know, and her dad was worried. And I said, did you like it? I mean, were you scared when you went there? She said, no. So I said, well, drive me by and we'll take a look. So right in the middle of what might be a crappy neighborhood, because I said, well, you know what? It's right on Northampton Street. That's the main road. You have to be pretty brazen to do a lot of crimes right on a main road that someone's constantly driving down, you know, especially the police or anyone else. So I went and she showed me, and the house is up on a pretty steep hill. So, and right on an alleyway. So number one, if you want to mess with that house, you have to really go out of your way. You have to climb up over a metal fence that's older and pointy, and then over another railing, and then mess with the house, and then fall down the hill and concrete and everything else. You really have to go out of your way if you want to mess with that house. Also, there was a family in back of them, and I later found out, I think they are a Hispanic family or something like this, but they were having a picnic in their little yard that's sort of in back of this house, and they just looked like a really tight family. They were more like dressed up, you know, for a picnic that they were having outside, and they looked like a really tight family, really nice family. So I was like, wow, they look, you know, super, super nice, super tight. Like they have family. I mean, how much can you garnish from? I mean, how much can you gather from seeing some people have picnics? But I mean, you know, it looked like, oh, they're really getting together. They have a sense of community and stuff like this. And I noticed that number one, they have a pond in their backyard, goldfish pond, the house that we're buying. They have a wishing well. Those things would be rubble if it was a bad neighborhood. And I said, well, let's drive around the alley a little bit. I want to look for, you know, tagging and other types of vandalism. And I only saw like one garage that had like some covered up vandalism on it, like spray paint that looked like it had been covered up, you know, months and months ago. And it's sort of like these two blocks or a block and a half of amazing looking houses. And it turns out that the architect for this house built like almost all the houses in the historic parts of Easton and on that block. It's sort of like this invisible bubble of niceness in the middle of more seedy types of row homes and things like this. So it's really nice. And Easton itself has tried to bring itself out of gut. It's a big roller coaster. It's an arts community. It's a poop community. It's an arts community. It's a poop community. It goes up and down, up and down. Between seedy crimes and amazing, unique vegetarian restaurants and higher scale things. And, you know, it goes up and down, up and down. That's where I had one of my gallery showings. It goes up and down. So they're always trying, though, they're always throwing money at it for the arts and stuff like that. And when I told Kyle about it, Kyle Von Kubik, he said, well, you'll make it the new Soho as soon as you start living there. I was like, okay, great. No pressure. But it seriously is a very nice nice part of town. And, you know, I don't mind living in a bad part of town. It's just that I also have Chiz with me. And who doesn't want, you know, their spouse to be safe and you know, be able to enjoy life and walk down the street if you can't afford it. So that's what we have going. It's very nice. I told her pop, and I didn't even see the inside. I told her pops. I said, "Hey, you know what? Just drive by, because I know you're worried, but just drive by, and then tell me what you think." They drove by, and they were like all types of secure with it. And we, you know, we asked the detective that frequented the area and gave it a clean bill of health and everything like that as far as crime and safety. And there's an old administrative building for the school right across the street from, right across the street from the house that the Easton Police Department is looking to put a bid in on. So, well, we'll have to put up with sirens, but that's another, you know, you would really have to be brazen to number one, go through all the trouble to mess with our house due to its location and then right across from the police barracks. But then again, I guess we have to protect ourselves from the cops. Now, we really don't have that too much cop corruption in the Lehigh Valley to worry about. Maybe in Bethlehem Township we do. I don't know. Some of those guys are kind of shady. But Allentown has always been good. I have nothing but good experiences with them. And Bethlehem has been pretty good. And Easton, I think, is a very, very good crew as well. So that's where the house is. We're definitely getting this house. We're looking to try to settle by the end of the month. There's some things that need to be done. We're trying to come up with a big down payment so that our monthly payments aren't as much. And, you know, it's rough. And, you know, we're doing what we can. Chiz has been able to save a lot of money living here. And that's about it with the house. I think I've talked about everything I need to talk about. We're almost at 2 hours, and we'll probably take it to 2 hours with the song. No, we won't, because it's a minute song. So we'll get in under two. Thank you so very much for listening to the show. I hope I touched on everything. I will get to your other letters when I find them. And I do not know when the next time I'll be able to talk to you will be. Maybe it'll be from the new place. It's going to take me, no fooling. It's probably going to take me the rest of the year to move everything into the new house. And we're going to take the bar, the 100-year-old bar that I have in here, and there's a room that will turn into like a little speakeasy type of thing. So it'll be cool. And you're all invited, of course. So thank you for listening once again. I cannot thank you enough, and I can't thank, I don't want to play favorites, but you know who you are. You've supported me all this time, and believe me, you will not be taken for granted when and if anything more substantial ever occurs with my career. There will be payback. There will be a time of reckoning for you, and hopefully we'll be all good. So look up Jihad Jerry and the Evildoers. Check out the new Devo album. Don't Shoot on a Man. That will be the featured song, I believe, in the show notes link. Check out D'Lo Brown and all his good stuff. I can't say enough good about this fella. I'm so glad that I ran into him. I'm Wiggly. Here comes the C-Rex Take 3. And it's Take 4 is coming. I'll have things mixed a little bit better. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Wiggly of Wiggly World. Let it be. The shadows passed and